हरिः ॐ सहनवभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 36. Chapter 18 summarized as questions and answers. Maharaj Prickett asked Sukadev Goswami question 9-7 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 9-18-5. Sukracharya was a very powerful brahmana, and Maharaj Yayati was a kshatriya. Therefore, I'm curious to know how there occurred this pratiloma marriage between a kshatriya and a brahmana. Sri Sukadev Goswami gives a reply to question 9-7 throughout chapter 18, Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter gives the history of King Yayati, the son of Nahusha. Among Yayati's five sons, the youngest son, Puru, accepted Yayati's invalidity. When Nahusha, who had six sons, was cursed to become a python, his eldest son, Yati, took sannyas, and therefore the next son, Yayati, was enthroned as king. It's a very far out way to do the names. You just change the Yayati and Suyati, and I just keep on like that.
Yeah, yeah. Or just keep them one name tall, like the previous one, 100.
Who's?
Remember the previous one does? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just they're all known as a group. They all had names, but they'd all be known as a group, yeah. Okay. And therefore the next son, Yayati, was enthroned as king. By providence, Yayati married the daughter of Sukracharya. Sukracharya was a brahmana and Yayati a kshatriya, but Yayati married her nonetheless. Sukracharya's daughter, named Devayani, had a girlfriend named Sarmishta, who was the daughter of Rishaparva. King Yayati married Sarmishta also. The history of this marriage is as follows. Once Sarmishta was sporting in the water with thousands of her girlfriends, and Devayani was also there. When the young girls saw Lord Shiva seated on his bull with Uma, they immediately dressed themselves, but Sarmishta mistakenly put on Devayani's clothes. Devayani, being very angry, rebuked Sarmishta, who also became very angry and responded by rebuking Devayani and throwing her into a well. Yeah, so in other words, Devayani's rebuking because she's a Brahmin, but the other is a Kshatriya. Don't mess with the Kshatriyas, they toss you in a well. Okay? Like that. Yes. By chance, King Yayati came to that well to drink water, and he found Devayani and rescued her. Thus, Devayani accepted Maharaj Yayati as her husband. Thereafter, Devayani, crying loudly, told her father about Sarmishta's behavior. Upon hearing of this incident, Sukracharya was very angry and wanted to chastise Vrishaparva, Sarmishta's father. Vrishaparva, however, satisfied Sukracharya by offering Sarmishta as Devayani's maidservant. Thus, Sarmishta, as the maidservant of Devayani, also went to the house of Devayani's husband. When Sarmishta found her friend Devayani with a son, she also desired to have a son. Therefore, at the proper time for conception, she also requested Maharaj Yayati for sex. When Sarmishta became pregnant also, Devayani was very envious. In great anger, she immediately left for her father's house and told her father everything. Sukracharya again became angry and cursed Maharaj Yayati to become old. But when Yayati begged Sukracharya to be merciful to him, Sukracharya gave him the benediction that he could transfer his old age and invalidity to some young man. Yayati exchanged his old age for the youth of his youngest son, Puru, and thus he was able to enjoy with young girls. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 35. The quarrel between Devayani and Sarmishta. 36 to 51. Puru accepts the old age of his father, Yayati. Verses 1 to 35. The quarrel between Devayani and Sarmishta. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, O King Pariket, as the embodied soul has six senses, King Nahusha had six sons named Yati, Yayati, Samyati, Ayati, Viyati, and Kriti. So he did do it. He's going there, but you're not there. Okay. When one enters the post of king or head of the government, one cannot understand the meaning of self-realization. Knowing this, Yati, the eldest son of Nahusha, did not accept the power to rule, although it was offered by his father. I think also Yati means sannyas. Yati means sannyas. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 2. Self-realization is the prime objection of human civilization, and it is regarded seriously by those who are situated in the mode of goodness and have developed the brahminical qualities. Kshatriyas are generally endowed with material qualities conducive to gaining material wealth and enjoying sense gratification, but those who are spiritually advanced are not interested in material opulence. Indeed, they accept only the bare necessities for a life of spiritual advancement in self-realization. It is specifically mentioned here that if one enters political life, especially in the modern day, one loses the chance for human perfection. Nonetheless, one can attain the highest perfection if he hears Srimad Bhagavatam. This hearing is described as Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:18. Maharaj Pariket was involved in politics, but because at the end of his life he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami, he attained perfection very easily. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore suggested. Regardless of whether one is in the mode of passion, ignorance, or goodness, if one regularly hears Srimad Bhagavatam from the self-realized soul, one is freed from the bondage of material involvement. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:3. Yeah, so that's why we see as the Acharyas, they wrote the commentaries, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, then they established formal study of the scriptures. Like that, because then by associating with the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavat philosophy, hearing from the Acharyas, then we advance nicely. Then we become freed from the material entanglement. That's why it's very important, because of the purports and all that. So that's what we're studying, things that have those commentaries are written in that way, written by the Acharyas themselves or their commentaries on things. Because then we get that association.
I'm just thinking that Srila Jiva Goswami, he says the study should be from general to specific.
Yes.
But we don't see that, you know, really happens. Because general is going on, it's like Nityam Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Then specific.
That's why we run the two courses. Because for our courses, like this, you know, let's say, it's like this is running, let's say, Doctor of Theology. It has Prabhupada's course ones, which is the going through how you say fancy word for it, because if you use the wrong word, academics get so bent out of shape. It means that you're going seriatim. You're going through seriatim like that, yeah. And so that means is that's going through Prabhupada's books, you know. Then we're going through by analysis, means thematic. Yeah. So that's the other study. That's the Acharya's works, is they've wrote a thematic study of Bhagavatam. So that's what Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the Sandarbhas, then the Vedanta Sutra is seen in connection with the Bhagavatam. You know, Brahma Samhita is the essence of all the you know, Bhagavat philosophy. So then those are all connected with that. So that's the analytical study.
Specific.
Yes, that's the specific. So Prabhupada mentions that this is how study is done. So that's why, like in the bachelor's, then the first year is the going through the books, you know, in seriatim. Yes. And then what's the other one?
Thematic.
Huh? Yeah, but there's the fancy name.
But this is the fancy name. Chronological was before that.
That wasn't, yeah, but I'm saying seriatim, but what's the one for the thematic? Name is there. That's probably way down here. Seriatim and elucidatory. If you use those, then either one, they won't know what they mean, or, and so therefore then they'll leave you alone, or they'll be very satisfied.
Impressed.
Okay, yes, now, now we're talking. So then the elucidatory, that's the other one. So then the second and third year is elucidatory. So they're separate. Mm-hmm. But from the fourth year through the 12th, then they run parallel. So one class is the elucidatory, and the two classes are the seriatim. Like that. The two separate courses, the two of them together make the degree.
So the study will be complete.
Yes. Means you have the two, then that's complete. Like that.
So every degree we have that? Like now we have the first year of the third.
Yes. But I mean, that's Vedanta Sutras is the elucidatory. And then the seriatim is this, going through the Bhagavatam. And I don't remember the names because it's been so long. The courses have names. One of them is Amnaya Tattva Niryas. I don't remember what the other one is. Like that, so. Yeah. Okay.
When we get the diploma, we'll know.
Yeah, you can put it on there. What do you call it? We have the diploma, and then what's the other thing that tells what they studied? You have the other paper? There's a fancy name for that, too.
No, it's not the paper.
Yes, no, it's just... But it just means it tells what you study so people know.
Specifica?
Specifica? No, it's got another name that it specifically means the details of what was studied.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Degree?
No. It's some one of those. Yeah. It's like that. So then that can have those two divisions, and then what's in there like that. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, because Nahusha, the father of Yayati, molested Indra's wife, Sachi, who then complained to Agastya and other Brahmins, these saintly Brahmins cursed Nahusha to fall from the heavenly planets and be degraded to the status of a python. Consequently, Yayati became the king. King Yayati had four younger brothers, whom he allowed to rule the four directions. Yayati himself married Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya, and Sarmishta, the daughter of Vishaparva, and ruled the entire earth. Maharaj Pariksit said, Shukracharya was a very powerful brahmana, and Maharaj Yayati was a kshatriya. Therefore, I am curious to know how there occurred this pratiloma marriage between the kshatriya and a brahmana. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 5. According to the Vedic system, marriages between kshatriyas and kshatriyas, or between Brahmins and Brahmins, are the general custom. Marriages sometimes take place between different classes. These marriages are of two types, namely Anuloma and Pratiloma. Anuloma marriage between a Brahmana and a daughter of a kshatriya is permissible, but Pratiloma marriage between a kshatriya and the daughter of a Brahmana is not generally allowed. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit was curious about how Shukracharya, a powerful brahmana, who could accept the principle of pratiloma, right? Because Shukracharya, someone like him, his daughter, anyone in the universe would be happy to marry. So it's not like he's short on proposals here, right? But because of I think it's the curse of Kacha, right, who is Brihaspati's son, then she would not marry a brahmin. Like that.
Why did he curse her?
It's coming.
It's coming. Oh, it tells the details. Okay, no problem. Very good.
Details?
Okay. So Maharaj Pariksit was eager to know the cause for this uncommon marriage. So Anuloma is just uncommon. Pratiloma is not, I mean, Anuloma is okay, but not. It's not recommended, but it's still worse. But Pratiloma, that was generally uncommon. It's generally not, unless there's some strange situations.
Anuloma is not recommended?
No, Anuloma is, it gets by. It's not recommended, but it gets by. It's not against. Not recommended meaning it's not your first choice.
Both choices equally chose.
Yes. So that would be the proper. Then if it's not going to be equal, then if it's anuloma, then that's better than pratiloma. You know, so 1 degree is, you know, and 1 degree is more recommended. You know, the more degrees, the worse it gets.
But what's the name of the proper marriage, like between Brahmana and Brahmana? There's no specific name.
No, that's just okay. What you're supposed to do. Yeah, marriage. Yeah, so the others are anuloma marriage or pratiloma marriage.
This can be called as sama.
Sama. Okay, sama. Okay, Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. One day, Vrishaparva's daughter, Sarmishta, who was innocent but angry by nature, was walking with Devayani, the daughter of Sukracharya. Because, right? You know, there's Kshatriyas, but at the same time, they're also demons, you know, from the Asura line. And so then naturally can be, you know, they're fiery by nature, and then you add in the demon part, so it gets a little bit more like that. I think, yes, I think, I'm not sure that Vrishaparva is not like the head of the Danavas.
Yeah, he's king.
Yeah, king, but he's Danava. So that would be even a little bit more enthusiastic than the Daityas.
You should watch out for the associates.
Yes, like that. But, you know, innocent by nature, but angry also. Okay, she was walking with Devayani, the daughter of Sukracharya, and with thousands of friends in the palace garden. You know, so Devayani is there like that, but then Sarmishta, then she'll have so many maidservants as the daughter of the king. But at the same time, as she's friends with Devayani, because he's also in the court of Vrishaparva, right? He'll be the, I guess, Rajguru or like this. But so because of associates, they'll be there, but at the same time, Devayani will be senior to her. So then all of her maidservants would assist her in doing anything for Devayani. So even if Devayani has no maidservants, technically she has thousands because she, Sarmishtas will be in a junior position, so then everything connected to her will also like that. So it works out. It's no problem. Let her manage it, and then she'll get the benefit. Yeah. So, no?
Not really. Because they had a conflict anyway. And I guess there's some ego was involved.
That's there. No, but what I'm saying is that the thousands of friends, she wouldn't feel bad because Devayani wouldn't feel bad that Sarmishta has thousands of maidservants because all of them will be junior to her.
Yeah.
So they'll all be assisting her. But it's not that, you know, it's like junior equals. It's not like junior. It's junior equals. Like amongst friends, you have those who are senior, those who are equal, those who are junior, and those who are confidential.
Yeah.
Like that. So she'll be in that kind of thing where it'll be, have that touch of junior, but if you're behaving nicely, you don't have to bring that out, but if there's any problem, then that can be mentioned. Just like Romaharshana Sutta. As long as he's speaking the Bhagavatam and the other literatures all nicely, then there's no problem. But as soon as he becomes proud, then they refer to, well, he is a sutta. You know, what do you want?
So, Maharaj, in this regard, whenever a person commits a mistake, and you refer to his past, that's bona fide system.
As long as you are in a better position and are, you know, senior and are not from the same position, unless you're just... You know,
no,
it's more of an
like
honest.
Not like a gossip.
Yes, you can, but it has to be in connection with. That's why these things will come up. Mm-hmm. That's why someone shouldn't worry about them too much. You know, if someone's doing such wonderful service and all that, same time we see some anomaly that's there, then, you know, that can be just because of the, you know, previous purva samskars. Yeah. Okay, so they were in the palace garden. The garden was full of lotuses and trees, of flowers and fruits, and was inhabited by sweetly singing birds and bumblebees. When the young lotus-eyed girls came to the bank of a reservoir of water, they wanted to enjoy by bathing. Thus they left their clothing on the bank and began sporting, throwing water on one another. While sporting in the water, the girls suddenly saw Lord Shiva passing by, seated on the back of his bull with his wife, Parvati. Ashamed because they were naked, the girls quickly got out of the water and covered themselves with their garments. Sarmishta unknowingly put Devayani's dress on her own body, thus angering Devayani, who then spoke as follows. Oh, just see the activities of this servant maid, Sarmishta. Disregarding all etiquette, she has put on my dress, just like a dog snatching clarified butter meant for use in the sacrifice. We are among the qualified brahmanas who are accepted as the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The brahmanas created the entire universe by their austerity, and they always keep the absolute truth within the core of their hearts. They have directed the path of good fortune, the path of Vedic civilization. Because they are the only worshipable objects within this world, they are offered prayers and worship even by the great demigods, the directors of their various planets, and even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, the Supreme Purifier, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. Right? So they have all this knowledge, and everything that they're saying is bona fide. It's just that it doesn't necessarily mean that this knowledge, because it's not applied with devotion, it doesn't give them realization of Bhagavan. They just know the Lord and the position of the Lord. But, as we see here, all that's being said to bring out the glories of the Brahmins, not the glories of the Lord. Like that, yes.
So would that be Upadharma? Using it like that?
I mean, yes, but the use of it, you could say, would have that element. But what's being spoken is true.
It is,
yes.
But it's for their own benefit.
Yes, yeah, for their own benefit. So it's not that they're twisting the truth itself, it's just how they're using it, you know. It's like one of those, you're a materialist, yeah, you probably use it this way. But otherwise, then, you know, you wouldn't. Like that. At least not over this. But we see is that, that's the whole thing, is when you're going within the performance of duties, because they are, in one sense, so elevated, then, so there's so much power, there's so much elements there, that sometimes a small thing can then get too much power behind it and take the mind off like that. So, you know, it's not something to see as strange. Otherwise, oh, but they're gracious, how could this happen? No, but this, no, that's why it does happen. Or these great Brahmins, that's why it does happen. It's only when they're Vaishnavs, then that's when it doesn't happen. So when you have someone who's great Vaishnav, then you see that these things don't happen. But otherwise, then with these other aspects, then you do see it happen. But it's rare. It's not like every day it's going on like that. It's occasionally happening like that. So, yes.
Maybe because she was without clothes, that's why she got upset with somebody else.
That's there. Yeah, that's there. So you've got clothes, and then who got them there. If it was one of the maidservants, then they'd take it as a mistake. But then here's Sarmishta. There's always the thing, probably also trying to establish that you are superior to the other.
Yeah.
You know, it's a common standard thing. You know.
Yeah, who's alpha and like that.
Yeah, like that. So that's the, you know, that's where the other, that will be the downside of that. She doesn't necessarily have all these maidservants, the other one does, so that she's in one sense got more facilities and opulence, but at the same time you're socially in a senior position. So, yeah. That's why we avoid all these things. We try to be humble, tolerant, respectful of others. Then we avoid all these problems. That way we don't get tossed into wells. Stuff.
Anyway, don't have that many maidservants.
Yeah, that's true. But still, wells are there to get tossed into, so we want to avoid that. And we are even more respectable because we are in the dynasty of Bhrigu, right? So then, of Brahmins, those in the Bhrigu dynasty, they're actually considered separately from all other Brahmins. Means all of them, means you're coming in the means the 21 gotras are there, right? So those coming in any of the other gotras, you know, they're in whatever, but those in the Bhrigu line, that one, they're special. Even the rituals, a slight difference, how they do. They some extra mantras, some extra this, that. So they're in their own. So what she's saying is this, is, you know, all that's there, and there's on top of that this, right? Yet, although this woman's father, being among the demons, is our disciple, she has put on my dress, exactly like a Shudra taking charge of Vedic knowledge. When thus, it's not this extreme, because it's not a Shudra, it's a Kshatriya who by accident put on, you know, and their friends. It's not like, you know, she walked up to, you know, the Brahmins are all there, and she walked by, and, oh, those look nice, and went and took the clothes or something. You know, that's not. When thus rebuked in cruel words, Sarmishta was very angry, breathing heavily like a serpent and biting her lower lip with her teeth. She spoke to the daughter of Sukracharya as follows. You beggar, since you don't understand your position, why should you unnecessarily talk so much? Don't all of you wait at our house, depending on us for your livelihood, like crows. Footnote 18. So it just gets worse, right? Srila Prabhupada writes to verse 16. Crows have no independent life. They are fully dependent on the remnants of foodstuffs thrown by householders into the garbage tank. Therefore, because a brahmana depends on his disciples, when Sukracharya was heavily rebuked by Devayani, she charged Devayani with belonging to a family of crow-like beggars. It is the nature of women to fight verbally at even a slight provocation. As we see from this incident, this has been their nature for a long, long time. So it's nothing new.
That's why it made into Bhagavatam.
Yes. Just so it's, you know, it's...
Maharaj,
yes.
Regarding the Gotras, you know, even for marriage, consider even the Gotra, so how much is it important?
Gotra is important because you don't want someone who's Sagotra. That's why Gotras are considered.
Okay.
One is that if you can't say seven generations, you know, of the Gotra, then the general recommendation is don't marry that person. Means if you know seven generations. If you don't know anybody, then, you know. Can you name the generation? Oh, there's George, there's Harold, and there's Peter. then you marry someone like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So then the Gotra would be Kasyapa.
Before,
yet, although this woman's father, being among the demons, is our disciple, he has put on... Yeah? Okay, got it. Okay. So one cannot be Swajati or yeah, Sajati or Sagotra, like that. Shouldn't be from the same Gotra. And shouldn't have a common relative for seven generations. So that's why if you know seven generations, as that, then you know that there's no common in Swajati or Sajati. And if you know the Gotras and the two different Gotras, then that also works. Does that make sense?
In the case of the marriage between Arjuna and Subhadra.
Arjuna is one light, Subhadra is another. They're different gotras. Yeah, so that's the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we did learn that it stopped at one point. Previously they were all from one gotra more or less, then they would marry. Remember? Then we said that it stopped. Satyayu or something.
No, that's the lines of the sun and moon dynasties. Gotra means which Prajapati your family line goes back to. It means that in India, when they say they're from this Gotra, that means it goes back to that, means to the 21 Prajapatis.
They all know their Gotras?
Yeah.
All Gotras?
At least I know my Gotras.
It means in India, all the cultured families, they all know their Gotras. So that's... Yes. Abraham and Isaac. Yes. You go back so many. Yeah. So that's the. Seems the breath is over. Where were we on Gotra? Yes, so that's all. Everyone knows the Gotras, and that's why it's always mentioned. And then, so we use, because whatever gotra you're from, when one surrenders to the Lord and takes up that position of just fully dependent upon the Lord and is not functioning within the material scene anymore, then the Vaishnavas take up achyuta gotra. Right? So that would mean they may be, but let's say if they're Vaishnavas, but then they're grihasthas, then the match will be made according to the gotras there. Like that. Does that make sense? That'll be a consideration. But once they take vanaprasa sannyas, then they're achyuta gotra. So that's the thing. So generally sannyasis, they're achyuta. You know, Vaishnavas, and, you know, so, and for the general Vaishnavas, then we're all achyuta. You know, and if you want to be specific, then we'd fit into kasyapa. You know.
In performing any puja and some things like that, you're supposed to say our gotra, not achyuta gotra, right?
As you like, one or the other, either one. If there's no one around that you have to impress, then you say achyuta. If there's someone you have to impress, then you say like that. So I've seen at the marriages where it comes out and that this is the goat. Everyone's so impressed. You know, things like that. Or, yeah, preaching. We have some devotees. They're from Bharadwaj. I mean, that's considered very high. You know, so then, you know, like this. And so you have these different ones. And then they're from there, and then everybody, you know, so they get respected very much. Yeah.
Using such unkind words would not be very comfortable.
Ah, on crows. Okay. Using such unkind words, Sarmishta rebuked Devayani. So you shouldn't say like that. Because the point is they could go anywhere, but they happen to be there for the benefit of the king and the kingdom and everything like that. But due to pride from their material facilities, then they may look down on them like that. Bhagavad Gita mentions that also, is that the rich person then looks down on the, you know, the Brahmins and that is, you know, just see is they're surrendered to God, but I have to give them food, so therefore I'm greater than God, like that kind of thing. How you say so? Devayani went about it in a cultured way, and Sarmishta just got straight to the point.
She's not finished yet.
She's not finished yet. Ah. In anger, she took away Devayani's garments and threw Devayani into a well.
Oh, that's why.
After throwing Devayani into the well, Sarmishta went home. Meanwhile, King Yayati, I'm sure she would have come back later for it, but. Meanwhile, King Yayati, while engaged in a hunting excursion, went to the well to drink water, and by chance saw Devayani. Seeing Devayani naked in the well, King Yayati immediately gave her his upper cloth. Being very kind to her, he caught her hand with his own and lifted her out. With words saturated with love and affection, Devayani said to King Yayati, O great hero, O king, conqueror of the cities of your enemies. By accepting my hand, you have accepted me as your married wife. Let me not be touched by others, for our relationship as husband and wife has been made possible by providence, not by any human being. 6-21. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 21. While taking Devayani out of the well, King Yayati must certainly have appreciated her youthful beauty, and therefore he might have asked her which caste she belonged to. Thus Devayani would have immediately replied, we are already married because you have accepted my hand. And so, you know, then if she's Brahmin, then he wouldn't marry her. Right? So therefore she is saying this. We are already married because you've accepted my hand. Uniting the hands of the bride and bridegroom is a system perpetually existing in all societies. Therefore, as soon as Yayati accepted Devayani's hand, they could be regarded as married. Means could be. You also could in this way not, because it's an emergency. So just she comes out of the well and then she goes back to the palace and he goes his way like this and that. But she was, you know, appears she was interested.
Just a second. While he was hunting in their garden?
Well, it said it went out to a reservoir, so that must be outside their garden.
Speaks about your, I don't understand the point, like shaking hands, you know, your
No, it doesn't say shaking hands, uniting hands.
It's the same thing as shaking hands. Normal custom, like, you know, men and women, they shake hands. Hello, how are you? Things like that, something.
But that's a modern system. It's not a Vedic system. Vedic system, men and women don't shake hands.
No, that's
hmm?
Yeah, they don't shake hands.
They don't shake hands?
Yeah.
So how did shaking hands come into this?
Because I'm thinking that then it is like under this, the principle is that, you know... Like
no, but the thing is, is if you go by the previous discussion, right, in the morning, you know, the, I say, overtime discussion in the morning. So then, what makes a Gandharva marriage a Gandharva marriage?
Shaking hands,
but what's the mood of the two shaking hands?
Mutual
attraction, mutual agreement.
Yes, yes.
So just because they shook hands, they just shook hands. They didn't mutually agree to get married. Right? And according to the laws on this, if you want to apply it to that, then after shaking five men's hands, then it doesn't matter how many hands she shakes, she's in the same category. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So you have to put them all together, then you get something. So, therefore, it wouldn't be a Gandharva marriage, the modern, because they shook hands. Right? Because there's no mutual agreement, and that was probably the, you know, 5,697th guy she shaked hands with. Therefore, as soon as Yayati accepted Devayana's hands, they could be regarded as marriage. Could be, means by that, but at the same time, as it's an emergency, it doesn't. We see the same thing with Indidun Mars is prime minister and the daughter of the sovereign. Right. It's that one, because you go into the, if I go into the, does that make sense? So that also is, I think they were playing hide and seek, because in the Indian hide and seek game, then the person is, what is it? I don't remember the detail, but somehow or another at the end, when they're trying to, then whoever's left, or that is it, or whatever they call it. And the only way to get out of being it is they're blindfolded, and then they try to catch everybody, someone else, and then identify who it is. So everybody's doing, they're saying things to make them come, and then moving, and you know, they really harass them. But if they catch someone, then they have to figure out who they are, right? Because otherwise, if you get close, you don't say anything. Because if you say something, you know the voice, and then you catch them, then of course. But if you don't know, you just catch them. Then you know, by touching their face, and then you figure out who they are. So then, in touching, catching the prime minister, you know, by accident, and then it's got a mustache. It's slightly different than the girl's. So then, yeah. So that is the standard. But because this is an emergency, you could not apply it. Because Devayani was enamored with the hero Yayati, she requested him not to change his mind and let another come to marry her. Right? So that's because she has that curse, so then therefore she's not going to be able to marry a Brahmin. So if she's going to marry a king, she might as well marry the emperor, right? You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Devayani continued. So that's why then she didn't say anything. She just said, we've touched, now we're married. So if she's agreeing to that and that, and then he agrees to that, then by Gandharva they're married. Devayani continued, because of falling in the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by Providence. After I cursed Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I would not have a Brahmin for a husband. Right, so she's making the point is that you can say, oh, but you're a Brahmin, you should marry a Brahmin. No, I got cursed, I can't. Therefore, O mighty armed one, there's no possibility of my becoming the wife of a Brahmana. Sorry?
He's Brahmin's name.
Oh, Vidyapati. Okay, yes. So he ended up marrying the Sabara's daughter. Srila Prabhupada comments, Kacha, the son of the learned celestial priest Brihaspati, had been a student of Sukracharya, from whom he had learned the art of reviving a dead man who has died untimely. Right? Because, in other words, the untimely, these arts go if it's untimely. But if it's actually by karma, the end, then you can't do anything about it. Yeah. So that's why I was with Takshika and it was a Kasyapa. Then he understood, no, that was the end of his life anyway. So it wasn't that he should have lived longer and then he got cursed by the Brahmin boy and so therefore. But it's no, that's actually when he's going to die anyway. So then he understood his mantras wouldn't work. So, yeah. This art called Mrita Sanjeevani was especially used during wartime. When there was a war, soldiers would certainly die untimely, but if a soldier's body was intact, he could be brought to life again by this art of Mrita Sanjeevani. Right. This art was known to Sukracharya and many others. So if they get, you know, shot by arrows, then they're okay. If they lose, you know, heads, arms, legs, like that, then it doesn't work. This art was known to Sukracharya and many others, and Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, became Sukracharya's student to learn it. Devayani desired to have Kacha as her husband, but Kacha, out of regard for Sukracharya, looked upon the guru's daughter as a respectable superior, and therefore refused to marry her. Devayani angrily cursed Kacha by saying that although he had learned the art of Mrita Sanjeevani from her father, it would be useless. When cursed in this way, Kacha retaliated by cursing Devayani never to have a husband who was a Brahmana, right? Because he was a Brahmana, he was dealing in a respectful way. You know, he was dealing with her like a sister, right? You know, but because the position and all that, then the daughter, then the older, you know, senior sister. So he would just do things for her like service, like that. And so then that was his mood. But she was just going along with the mood because he was a student and couldn't get married. But as soon as he graduated, then the idea was, okay, now we can get now we could get married. Like that. Okay. When cursed in this way, Kacha retaliated by cursing Devayani to never have a husband who was a Brahmana. Because Devayani liked Yayati, who was a Kshatriya, she requested him to accept her as his bona fide wife. Although this would be pratiloma vivaha, a marriage between the daughter of a high family and the son of a lower family. She explained that this arrangement was made by providence, because it just happened. I mean, she will marry a Kshatriya, but the point is this just happened by providence. It wasn't like, you know, some arrangement or something. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, because such a marriage is not sanctioned by regular scriptures, King Yayati did not like it. But because it was arranged by providence and because he was attracted by Devayani's beauty, he accepted her request. Srila Prabhupada comments, according to the Vedic system, the parents would consider the horoscopes of the boy and girl who are to be married. If according to astrological calculations, the boy and girl were compatible in every respect, the match was called Yotaka, and the marriage would be accepted. Even 50 years ago, this system was current in Hindu society. Regardless of the affluence of the boy or the personal beauty of the girl, without this astrological compatibility, the marriage would not take place. A person is born in one of three categories, known as Devagana, Manushagana, and Rakshagana. Right, this means it's just how on a daily thing you like to do things. You know, it's how you keep your stuff, how do you, it means your surroundings, your environment, how do you deal with it. So then, Deva means everything's very, very ordered. Right? Rakshasa means you don't worry about order. And Manusha means you worry about order and then you make a mess and then you clean it up again and then you make a mess. So one is always clean, the other one is always messy, and one it goes back and forth. Right? Because if you mix these, they won't get on. If there's one difference, okay. But if it's two, then it's really a problem. Right? So that makes sense. So these are the points he's making. So if they're compatible, like he says, on all, every respect, then these are the ones to look at.
Can Devagan refer to mode of goodness, Manishya to the passion, and Rakshas to the ignorance?
Yes, but it's means you have that, but it's not exactly just the nature of the person. It's a bigger thing on how they deal with, you know, things, their environment, how seriously they take it. Does that make sense? You know, it'll have those aspects to it, of course. But it's not that saying, okay, this person's the mode of passion or ignorance. No, these are just lakshanas, just things to see, to symptoms. In different parts of the universe, there are demigods and demons. And in human society, also, some people resemble demigods, whereas others resemble demons. According to astrological calculations, there was a conflict between a godly and a demoniac nature. The marriage would not take place. Similarly, there were calculations of pratiloma and anuloma. The central idea is that if the boy and girl were on an equal level, the marriage would be happy, whereas inequality would lead to unhappiness. Because you want to be able to just deal in a more very natural way. And so if the differences are great, then it's very hard. It means on everything you always have to be careful, that there's no time you can really relax. Right? So it's just how you would naturally respond. Right? With training, you'll respond in a proper way, but it's still a natural. That's the idea of the these things to match. Because then it means just very naturally it will they can interact. So, yes.
So in other relations it's the same. Because amongst friends and like
Yeah, it'll be the same.
When we feel comfortable.
Yeah, you can just sit there, talk anything, you don't have to worry, even if you said something funny, it'll be understood what you meant by it.
Yeah.
You know, while someone else, everything you say, every third word is, oh this and oh that, how can you say this and how can you say that? And, oh, don't you consider, you know, then it's just like, you know, better to go, you know, a cat will be more friendly. You know. You know, he's cool when he doesn't. So that's the idea, is that it will naturally be there. So you'll find those that it's just there, or you'll find that in some area it's strong, but in another area it's not. So you might have friends that you can hang out with them, but you don't, let's say, do activities together with them. Or there's only specific activities you can do with them, and other activities you don't do. Or, you know, you can talk anything, but don't talk, let's say, money, or don't talk politics, or don't talk this. Or that. You know, there's just, you just get to know as you just don't. So then, in that way, you make up for where the weakness is. And that's all right. They're a friend. You come and see them now and again, go away. But if you live in the same place with somebody, then you want it to be a little bit easier. Like that. But if you're really intelligent, you can work these things out and avoid all the things and just, you know, be relaxed and comfortable with this is the way it is. So that can be there. But then that means then you have to have some better qualification, material qualification, to be able to do that. You know. And then if you have that, nice. But if you don't have that, then you're going to have to get that by devotional service. So then, therefore, one has, if you want the marriage to work, you've got to become more serious about your devotional service. That means about the essential things, not the secondary things. Because that may also cause a problem.
But Maharaj, I want to ask you that some people, their nature is like very prominent.
Yeah.
But some people just, you know, they don't have a prominent nature. It's like, you
yeah,
know,
so they marry someone else like that, or marry someone who's prominent. It's either, it'll be, you have to see, it's either two who are just, you know, how you say, you know, in North India they say cholega.
Cholega.
Yeah, cholega, you know, it's like, yeah, it doesn't worry, don't worry about it. You know, so then like that, then it'll go on. Or that someone who, you know, has what they want to do and know what they want to do, but is accommodating, and the other person is, yeah, okay, let's do it, you know. So either, you know, you have to, that's why you check the charts, because you can tell how that will work, if it will work. Because so many things you can put together, but you have to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, let's say you have some avocado and you put a squeeze of lemon. That works. But to put a lemon juice and then put, you know, some avocado. No.
Right?
Yeah, it's just, you know, just don't do that. You know, so that's the thing you have to know. When it, you know, it's good. You know, salt is good, but only so much. You know, so then, you know, that's what you have to see. So, yeah.
We say that we should not put, like you were saying that for marriages, the astrological charts, the horoscopes have been attached. But then you also say that the Krishna karma also is an important factor.
Yes, but are you marrying the Krishna karma?
Somebody else is Krishna karma.
Yeah. You understand? What are you marrying? You're marrying two gross and subtle bodies. Yeah? I mean, we want to get technical here. That's what we're marrying. We're not marrying the souls. That's why I probably didn't go along with soulmates and all that kind of jazz. We're marrying a gross and a subtle body to a gross and a subtle body. Right? So, you have to see that this gross body matches that gross body, this subtle body matches that subtle body. Then, what Krishna is going to do with it and all that, that's another thing. That's connected to your devotion. But otherwise, if the mood is right in this and that, then just the normal things go along or even better. But it's still within the same category. You know what I'm saying? The guy's a business person, so maybe by Krishna karma he gets more money. Or at this point he loses money. You understand? But the point is what's the common area? Money. You understand? So that's what you have to see. Because if you have someone who's totally into money and someone who's not into money, then how that's going to work out? You know, one is, oh, don't worry, it'll come. You know, how it'll come? You know, this, you know. So then, that's not going to work. Both of them know, yes, you work, you get your money this way, or yes, you just depend upon the Lord and then money comes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Because care is no longer taken in marriage, we now find many divorces. Indeed, divorce has now become a common affair. Although formerly one's marriage would continue lifelong, and the affection between husband and wife was so great that the wife would voluntarily die when her husband died, who would remain a faithful widow throughout her entire life. And even sometimes, you see, it's not, you know, uncommon then when one partner dies, in a very short time the other one dies. Just, you know, there's just nothing to do.
Nobody to harass.
No one to harass, yeah. It's like yeah, the essential points.
That's how I saw
it. Yeah, yeah. Don't die. Who am I going to harass? Okay, yeah. Now, of course, this is no longer possible, for human society has fallen to the level of animal society. Marriage now takes place simply by agreement. Dampatye biruchirhetuhu, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.2.3. The word abhiruchi means agreement. The boy and girl simply agree to marry, the marriage takes place. But when the Vedic system is not rigidly observed, marriage frequently ends in divorce. Just because it's not matched, maybe by karma then it'll match, then great. But why something so important we should leave to chance like that? That's why it's that therefore one uses the Vedic system. Like that's the recommendation. You know, it may work, may not work, but still. Srila Sukadeva Goswami.
We discussed about the eight kinds of marriages. Swayamvara is in which category? Brahma marriage?
Mvara.
Swayamvara.
Swayamvara is Prajapatya. Because the girl chooses. Right. Yeah. But when they have the marriage, they do the same ritual. Just like Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra, and then once everybody agreed that it's okay, then they brought them back, and then they had the regular ceremony. You know what I'm saying? So the ceremony, there's one ceremony, but it's the conditions on which that one ceremony is happening, that makes it by what rite you're following. Right? And then the last runs, then it means you could have that and this. So, you know, like that. So this rakshasa and they have the the Vedic ritual,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. But in Gandharva, they don't have to. Like, who was it? Shakuntala and Bharatmar. No, Bharat was the son.
Dushmanta.
So that was just Gandharva. There was no formal rite.
The story's coming.
Okay, see, getting all the stories. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all happening. Yeah.
Festival time.
Yeah, all the issues and all the stories. Yeah, all at once.
Have to finish them all before the parents
get. Yes. Yes. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Oh, Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thereafter, when the learned king returned to his palace, Devayani returned home crying and told her father, Sukracharya, about all that had happened because of Sarmishta. She told how she had been thrown into the well but was saved by the king. As Sukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Unchavriti, collecting grains from the field, right? So now he's feeling bad because she was insulted in this way because of how he's living in this way. Because otherwise, that's why Chanakya, then he didn't accept, he did his service of prime minister, but he didn't accept anything from the king in the way of remuneration. But, you know, if he's giving charity to Brahmins, that you could do. But even that, you want to be careful. So he would live in his grass hut outside and go out begging. And that's how he'd maintain himself. So that way, he's completely independent. But otherwise, here, Sukracharya is lamenting that he's not independent. Like that. You know, because Sukracharya is such an elevated Brahmin, if he's going to do something else, then he's going to do, you know, Unchavriti. Like that, because that's totally independent. When begging, even then you can get insulted. You know, as we saw, you know, from the Gita, it mentions that the Brahmins are going to the householders and begging, and then they're thinking, see, I'm even greater than the Lord. They're dependent on the Lord. But Unchavriti, then you're just collecting what no one else wants. So you're totally independent. Right? And they're not there. It's not that they stand around and watch. Right? He left home with his daughter. Okay. Srila Prabhupada explains, when a Brahmin adopts the profession of a kapota, or pigeon, he lives by collecting grains from the field. This is called Unchavriti. A Brahmin who takes to this Unchavriti profession is called first class because he depends completely on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not beg from anyone. So that's considered the best of all the ones that a Brahmin could follow. Like that. Because then he's an active. Because the other one, you are saying he's following within the Dharma. Right? You have the one where Amrita, where it's just what comes of its own accord. Right? So that's why this element of providence was there. Devayani brought it up. Yayati accepted it because of providence. Right? It's something looked for. She will want to get married. He'll want to be married. Then here comes someone who's attractive. It just happened on its own. Right? You know, so like that, you have that aspect. But that, you know, like the python sadhu, that's Amrita. Right? He just lays there and then something comes, that's what he eats, and if nothing comes, he doesn't eat. But basically speaking, we see is only avadhuts deal on that platform. Right? So it's kind of outside of the, you know, you could say the varnashram. But, you know, you might have Brahmins who do live like that. But the point is generally it's taken as this, the Unchavriti, that's considered the best. Right? Then after that will be begging. And the Amrita is generally not recommended because how many can live like that? He's on his own, you know, therefore brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, they might live like that. But generally grihasthas wouldn't because then you're not doing any endeavor. So then it may not be appreciated. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
I think Shiva's Thakur was doing that.
Oh, okay. Just whatever came.
Yeah, then Mahaprabhu asked how you maintain his my Lord maintains me.
Okay. Yeah, so then that's that one. So we see it's not a common one, but it's a very respected one. But as far as your formally respected than Unchaviti is the most respected. Like that. Just because, yeah, it's a requirement within what you could do. While the other one, there's no work. So generally actions can better than inaction. But there it's, you're doing no action for occupation. You're only doing activities within God consciousness. So you're replacing the action. So the other one is you're just replacing a lower action with a higher action. So you could say within actions, then the Unchaviti would be the highest. So, yeah. Although the profession of begging is allowed for a Brahmin or sannyasi, one does better if he can avoid such a profession and completely depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for maintenance. Sukacharya was certainly very sorry that because of his daughter's complaint, he had to go to his disciple to beg some mercy, which he was obliged to do because he had accepted the profession of priesthood. In his heart, Sukacharya did not like his profession, but since he had accepted it, he was obliged to go unwillingly to his disciple to settle the grievance submitted by his daughter. Yeah, so the king is his disciple, now he's having to go work out. So he's the disciple, so he's senior, but at the same time, it's by maintenance, he's taken care of like this, so that's why it gets... Sukadeva Goswami continued. King Vrishaparva understood that Sukacharya was coming to chastise or curse him. Consequently, that before Sukacharya came to his house, Vrishaparva went out and fell down in the street at the feet of his guru and satisfied him, because his daughter must have mentioned something also. You know, like this. And so now he knows, okay, now we got trouble. So that's why he's the king. He's smart. He satisfied him, checking his wrath. Footnote 19. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to verse 26, Sukacharya wanted to speak to the devatas and say, I am rejecting the demons, and I will make you victorious over the demons. Vrishaparva, son of Danu and Kasyapa, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.6.32, understood that Sukacharya desired to say this. Right, because otherwise he's going to work it out. It means he's rejecting, you know, because his daughter behaved in this way and then insulted. He means the insult was at his daughter, but technically it insults the father, because that's how they're being maintained, because the daughter's not the one that has to maintain it. Like that. So that's the thing. So now he'll go back to the demigods and make them so they can defeat the demons. Doesn't mean he'll continue on in that way, but at least this one time around, he's going to work it out. You know,
there was more background to it, actually.
More background.
When Kacha was his disciple, so the demons, because he became the disciple of Sukracharya, the demons had no affair with him, but they killed Kacha many times.
Yeah, that was on her own, and Sukacharya told him not to. Yeah, and so because of that, then they lost the Sanjeevani mantra. Because if they hadn't killed him, they wouldn't have to teach him the mantra. And at the same time, as if they hadn't killed him, you know, and all that, he wouldn't have been, you know, he wouldn't have, how you say, wouldn't have learned, and then also may not have worked out that his daughter got cursed. So, yeah. So then, yes, there's a problem. Too smart. The powerful Sukacharya was angry for a few moments, but upon being satisfied, he said to Vrishaparva, my dear king, kindly fulfill the desire of Devayani, for she is my daughter, and in this world I cannot give her up or neglect her. Footnote 20. Srila Prabhupada writes in his commentary to verse 27, sometimes a great personality like Sukacharya cannot neglect sons and daughters, for sons and daughters are by nature dependent on their father, and the father has affection for them. Although Sukacharya knew that the quarrel between Devayani and Sarmishta was childish, as Devayani's father, he had to side with his daughter. He did not like to do this, but he was obliged to because of affection. Right, so that's why Manu then mentions the different things that are there. It may be you like or don't like, but that's actually how things work. So that's how sides are there. Just like if a member of the family is insulted, then that person who insulted that, then every other member of the family then avoids. They don't deal closely with them, right? So that's just that's just they give the support. They may or may not like that, but that's just the way it is, because that makes everything work. Yes.
Same applies for friends.
Said, does it apply for friends? Depends how close they are. Okay. Sometimes it can be a real problem. You know, especially amongst friends. You know, family is a little easier, but friends.
And is Vaishnavas with sometimes don't have to follow that?
Means it just depends upon how Vaishnava everybody else is.
No, because if you don't reject that person, that this time that others will also stop rejecting.
It works, but let's say that the wife's been insulted. Now the husband doesn't. Okay. Okay. We're good. Okay. Okay. He plainly admitted that although he should not have asked the king for mercy for his daughter, because of affection, he could not avoid doing so. Right? So he's just being, you know, this is the way it is. These are the rules. So then he should consider. And he should, you know, he has to behave nicely. Otherwise, then, you know, he could also end up as a frog. You know? And then we can't guarantee that his wife will be, you know, interested in kissing that frog. You know, so, yeah. After hearing Sukracharya's request, Vrishaparva agreed to fulfill Devayani's desire, and he awaited her words. Right? And you notice this with a Kshatriya's, much of the time here, it's always the desire is has to be agreed upon before you hear about the desire. So that's the thing. As long as it's not against Dharma, it's something that can be done and doesn't actually threaten your own life or put you into... even servitude is not so much, but generally you wouldn't. A kshatriya is, you know, it would keep them in their kshatriya position. Whatever would maintain their kshatriya dharma, then if it's something that they can do, then anything then can be asked. But if it's against that, then that's not proper.
Servitude for kshatriyas, isn't it against?
Yes, so generally servitude wouldn't be part.
That's what I assume.
But the point is... Yes, but it's the daughter, not the father.
She's a kshatriya. Service.
Yeah, but then she's serving a Brahmin. So it's not a...
So that servitude is okay.
Yeah, if it was serving another kshatriya, that becomes a little bit of a problem. Devayani then expressed her desire as follows. Whenever I marry by the order of my father, my friend Sarmishta must go with me as my maidservant, along with her friends. So she has maidservants, so she goes along with all that. So then she gets everybody. So I guess there was some considerations before. But it was working before. But now it's been made official. Vrishaparva wisely thought that Sukracharya's displeasure would bring danger and that his pleasure would bring material gain. Therefore he carried out Sukracharya's order and served him like a slave. He gave his daughter Sarmishta to Devayani, and Sarmishta served Devayani like a slave, along with thousands of other women. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the beginning of these affairs concerning Sarmishta and Devayani, we saw that Sarmishta had many friends. Now these friends became maidservants of Devayani. When a girl married a Kshatriya king, it is customary for all her girlfriends to go with her to her husband's house. For instance, when Vasudeva married Devaki, the mother of Krishna, he married all six of her sisters. And she also had many friends who accompanied her. A king would maintain not only his wife, but also the many friends and maidservants of his wife. Some of these maidservants would become pregnant and give birth to children. Such children were accepted as Dasiputra, the sons of the maidservants, and the king would maintain them. The female population is always greater than the male, but since a woman needs to be protected by a man, the king would maintain many girls, who acted either as friends or as maidservants of the queen. In the history of Krishna's household life, we find that Krishna married 16,108 wives. These were not maidservants, but direct queens. And Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 forms to maintain different establishments for each and every wife. This is not possible for ordinary men. Therefore, although the kings had to maintain many, many servants and wives, not all of them had different establishments. But, you know, that would be the proper thing. But if not, you know, they would have as much as they could different.
Descendants. The king has descendants if he has many children, doesn't it?
Ruin his descendants.
He has many children. Why would it ruin his descendants? Because he has many different children to feed.
Yeah, but that's not the maintaining or ruining the ancestors will be, or the dynasty will be based on the qualification. So if they follow nicely the direction of the father, the training of the father, then the glory is maintained. It's only if they give up that training or don't accept that training, then you would say there's a problem. You know, just like with the king before. What was his name? Gaudi, right? Means 50 of his sons, then he cursed like that because they weren't following. And then 51... then did follow, and you know, and then now he had a 52nd. So. Yes, the Madhuchandra. Vishwamitra. Oh, Gaudi's son. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Sukracharya gave Devayani in marriage to Yayati, he had Sarmishta go with her, but he warned the king, "My dear king, never allow this girl Sarmishta to lie with you in your bed." O King Parikit, upon seeing Devayani with a nice son, Sarmishta once approached King Yayati at the appropriate time for conception. In a secluded place, she requested the king, the husband of her friend Devayani, to enable her to have a son also. When Princess Sarmishta begged King Yayati for a son, the king was certainly aware of the principles of religion, and therefore he agreed to fulfill her desire. Although he remembered the warning of Sukracharya, he thought of this union as the desire of the Supreme, and thus he had sex with Sarmishta. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 32. King Yayati was completely aware of the duty of a Kshatriya. When a Kshatriya is approached by a woman, he cannot deny her. This is a religious principle. That doesn't mean just any old woman. It means one who's qualified in that thing, you know, as prop. You know, that's why that was the question that Yudhishthira asked Arjuna, because he was so depressed. So one of the questions was, you know, did an unqualified woman approach you?
She was unqualified for him.
No, she's Kshatriya. No, she's that. She's part of the thing. So that was just his warning. That was his thing. But according to Dharma, technically, there's nothing wrong with her as a person. Now, by the arrangement, now that's another thing. So, in other words, this won't be a problem with Dharma. This will be a problem between him and Sukracharya, you know, and Devayani.
So it's personal.
It's personal, yes. Okay, this is a religious principle. Consequently, when Dharmaraj Yudhishthira saw Arjuna unhappy after Arjuna returned from Dwarka, he asked whether Arjuna had refused a woman who had begged for a son. Although Maharaj Yayati remembered Sukracharya's warning, he could not refuse Sarmishta. He thought it wise to give her a son, and thus he had sexual intercourse with her after her mystical period. This kind of lust is not against religious principles, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.11. Sex life not contrary to the principles of religion is sanctioned by Krishna. Because Sarmishta, the daughter of a king, had begged Yayati for a son, the combination was not lust, but an act of religion. So that's the, you know, according to the rules, that's what I said, when the proper time of conception, this, that. So it wasn't about just, you know, having a good time, it was about having a child. Only thing is, she was, but how would she figure that Devayani would figure it out? That didn't quite.
Maybe she did, just to upset her.
Could be, or just she was so absorbed she didn't think it out very well. That's the whole thing with these. When you deal with the modes of nature, you deal with the modes of nature. You know, so I said, potpourri. You know, so. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Devayani gave birth to Yayati and Yadu and Turvasu. And Sarmishta gave birth to Druhyu, Anu, and Puru. When the proud Devayani understood from outside sources that Sarmishta was pregnant by her husband, she was frenzied with anger. Well, thus she departed for her father's house. King Yayati, who was very lusty, followed his wife, caught her, and tried to appease her by speaking pleasing words and massaging her feet, but he could not satisfy her by any means. 33 to 35, verses 36 to 51. Yes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Sukacharya was extremely angry. "You untruthful fool, lusting after women, you have done a great wrong," he said. "I therefore cursed you to be attacked and disfigured by old age and invalidity." King Yati said, "O learned, worshipful Brahman, I have not yet satisfied my lusty desires with your daughter." Sukacharya then replied, "You may exchange your old age with someone who will agree to transfer his youth to you." Srila Prabhupada explains, when King Yayati said that he had not yet satisfied his lusty desires with Sukacharya's daughter, Sukacharya saw that it was against the interests of his own daughter for Yayati to continue in old age and invalidity, for certainly his lusty daughter would not be satisfied. Therefore, Sukacharya blessed his son-in-law by saying that he could exchange his old age for someone else's youth. He indicated that if Yayati's son would exchange his youth for Yayati's old age, Yayati could continue to enjoy sex with Devayani. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. When Yayati received this benediction from Sukracharya, he requested his eldest son, "My dear son Yadu, please give me your youth in exchange for my old age and invalidity. My dear son, I am not yet satisfied in my sexual desires, but if you are kind to me, you can take the old age given by your maternal grandfather, and I may take your youth so that I may enjoy life for a few years more." Srila Prabhupada comments, "This is the nature of lusty desires. In Bhagavad Gita 7.20, it is said, Kamaistais ter ritagyanaha. When one is too much attached to sense gratification, he actually loses his sense. The word ritagyanaha refers to one who has lost his sense. Here is an example. The father shamelessly asks his son to exchange youth for old age. Of course, the entire world is under such illusion. Therefore, it says that everyone is pramattaha, or exclusively mad. Exclusive madness. Nunam pramatta kuru te vikarma. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.54. When one becomes almost like a madman, he indulges in sex and sense gratification. Sex and sense gratification can be controlled. However, and one achieves perfection when he has no desire for sex. This is possibly only when one is fully Krishna conscious. Okay. So, quoting, "Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste." Sexual desire can be stopped only when one is fully Krishna conscious, and not otherwise. As long as one has desires for sex, one must change his body and transmigrate from one body to another to enjoy sex in different species or forms. But although the forms may differ, the business of sex is the same. Therefore it is said, punas charvita charvananam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. Those who are very much attached to sex transmigrate from one body to another, with the same business of chewing the chewed, tasting sex enjoyment as a dog, sex enjoyment as a hog, sex enjoyment as a demigod, and so on. Yeah, so the whole idea is that this is given up. This has to be removed. Because why? What's the specific here? The specific is that seeing things in relationship to sense gratification, that has to be given up. And service to Krishna, that has to be accepted. So that's why it says, when one is fully Krishna conscious, then one can give up sex life. Because that means everything is seen in connection to Krishna. That means there's no sense gratification. That's the whole idea. Right? So, yeah. So that's what we're trying to do. Otherwise, this idea of sex life, it's the same in every species of life. It's not something the humans are unique or this or that. Or it's the same old stuff. Yadu replied, "My dear father, you have already achieved old age, although you also were a young man." "But I do not welcome your old age and invalidity, for useless, for unless one enjoys material happiness, one cannot attain renunciation." Right, so he's worried about this specific or that, but the point is there. That's why then when one's younger, that's the time for grihastha life, then when one's older, then that one moves. Because then as younger, then things are taken care of, then older age, then one is not worried about it. So that's Yayati's concern, that's his son Yadu's concern. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Renunciation of material enjoyment is the ultimate goal of human life. Therefore, the Varnashram institution is most scientific. It aims at giving one the facility to return home, back to Godhead, which one cannot do without completely renouncing all connections with the material world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one who wants to go back home, back to Godhead, must be niskinchana, free from all affinity for material enjoyment. Brahman yu pasha mashrayam. Unless one is fully renounced, one cannot engage in devotional service or stay in Brahman." So here we're meaning devotional service means that's where you're situated. Right? So that's the thing. So, because if there's something material that you're attached to, then that part's not devotional service, so you're not fully then absorbed. So when we say fully absorbed, that means devotional service. If we're not fully absorbed, that's devotional service in practice. "Devotional service is rendered on the Brahman platform. Therefore, unless one attains the Brahman platform, a spiritual platform, one cannot engage in devotional service. Or in other words, a person engaged in devotional service is already on the Brahman platform." Right, so Brahman platform means we're seeing everything connected to Krishna, to the transcendental platform. We see all things, it's all Krishna's energies, it's all coming from Him. It's all to be engaged, it's functioning by His laws, it's to be engaged in His service according to His direction, the directions of the Acharyas and scriptures. So then that's the... Does that make sense? Yeah. So someone who's engaged like that, they're already on the Brahman platform, and you can only get to the Brahman platform if you give up material engagement. Right? So the easiest way to give up material engagement is to take up fully Krishna consciousness. So it's not a separate endeavor. Because the one is you're giving up, coming to the transcendental, then moving into devotional service. But here you do both at once. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the difference between the person is punching, you block, and then having blocked, then you punch him. But there's a system where your block is a punch. Right? So that's devotional service. Much more efficient. Yes? Yes?
Just in order to to engage in full devotional service, that is the reason why we have the Vanaprastha Ashram for the grihasthas. So
yes, Vanaprastha's right. That's why you generally don't see the brahmacharis will take Vanaprastha. So you remain brahmachari, you go to sannyas, mm-hmm. because they don't have to basically wind down the material desires that have developed from grihastha ashram. Mm-hmm. But it's not that they can't, but just generally we don't see. Like we see in the Vedic age, a lot of brahmacharis who were like vanaprasthas. So they lived in the forest but they were independent. You know, they weren't married, but they lived that lifestyle rather than they were living the ashram with the guru. But they weren't sannyasis. Does that make sense? Yeah, but otherwise, in nowadays, means we practice as just brahmacharis to vanaprastha. But technically, you see these independent brahmacharis. You know, they go around. Independent means they're not like living under the temple commander. They just go around. They're technically vanaprasthas. They're senior to these other brahmacharis. But, you know, but we'll just count them as senior brahmacharis. Like that. Because they're independent. Well, the brahmachari technically is not independent. He lives under the direction. But these brahmacharis, they're... mature so that they're not independent, they're living under the direction of the guru, but they don't have to be there and have the guru constantly watching what they're doing. They can go out and do things. You know, it's like Ramachandra's brothers. They knew what to do. They went out and did the, not like the ones who stayed back. Like that. So it's a more advanced position. Is that, yeah. Okay, so...
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premanandini.